from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I think ultimately if something does get done, it's going to come in something that probably some fans won't like. It'll end up being one of the prospects you don't love that was moved with something else. But I think in order to get something done, he has to just do that. I also think there's degrees of it too. There's overpaying, and then there's GMs asking for banana stuff. So you're like, come on, you're not going to give you four pieces for a guy that has no extension. That's kind of crazy.
Chad DeDominicis, expected Buffalo. The only thing I don't agree with there is I don't know that there's any... I mean, of course, some fans... There's always going to be a group of fans that's mad at anything. There's enough fans. You can't get 100% for anything. They make a prospect pick trade for a top six forward. I don't know that there's an amount they could pay where fans would be really that upset. They might not... love it, but the respect that Adams would gain from, like, doing a Murray trade. Murray overpaid. So for Evander Kane, especially. When he traded for Evander Kane 7 years ago. Actually, wait a minute. That's 10 years ago now. Holy cow. That was 10 years ago. When he traded for Kane. And Kane was a good player. But he wasn't like a superstar, but he was a good player. And what did they trade? They traded... A good rental in Drew Stafford. They traded a top four defenseman in Tyler Myers. They traded not one, but two of their higher level prospects, Joel Armia and Brennan Lemieux. They traded a first round pick on top of it. Did they also trade a second round pick? And they took a bad contract from Winnipeg and Zach Bogosian. They gave him like seven things. Seven things. Was that a good trade? Probably not, in hindsight. But I'm here to tell you that if Adams made that exact trade right now, he would gain instant respect from a lot of the fans. Because it's, hey, you're not doing it. Murray did it more than once. He did it like four times, which is why he got in trouble. One of the reasons why he got in trouble. One trade like that where you're overpaying, you can afford that. You got a bank. You got a bank of prospects here, and you got your picks, and I just can't see why they can't overpay. So, sure, some fans wouldn't like if they traded for Martin Nietzsche's first round pick, Savoy, and Roseanne. Is that a lot for him? Probably. But I think there would be a respect factor there if they made a deal like that. It would, because it would be the announcement through your actions, not your words, that it's time to win. 803-0550 is the phone number. Recapping yesterday's disappointing July 1st, which has become a theme in Buffalo Sabres history. Brian in Arcade's next. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I mean, this is what happens when you look down the hallway to pick your GM. I mean, I think the Bills have tried this route, and you got the similar results. You don't get a creative GM who puts these things together. They sell this little line this year. Oh, we just got to be harder to play against. So I guess that means drag up the dregs of the league and sign them and just people who hit. Okay. Well, the day after the Middlestat trade, I agree with Paul from Buffalo, dude. Called in, got told, oh, no, you're wrong. That's a move they had to make, had to have it. I don't understand that. 25 years old, you went through all the injuries. You drafted him. You developed him. You need offense. Now you have no offensive players. And, yeah, it certainly looks like, you know, this owner, it looks like we operate with a firm cap underneath the real cap because we go cheap, man. Look down the hallway again. Oh, Don Coronado, a leftover from Ralph Kruger's staff. Yeah, you can be head coach for 3 years. It's what it looks like. And then I got told, oh, no, you're wrong, because they paid some of their prospects. I mean, they do the bare minimum. You are rooting for the Kansas City Royals, the Cincinnati Reds, the Oakland A's. That's the team you're rooting for. Hopefully all these prospects kind of mature at one point and you can make kind of one run. But you can see, I mean, the gaze in Buffalo is we look down. The bar is low. The bar is not high at all. You're not even in the running for not even one kind of middling level free agent. It's always who's the low end, who's the slim, who's the value, who wants to be in Buffalo. It's all these little phrases. And all that is, all Adam says, is it's all an exercise in how do we lower the bar and buy a little bit more time. I think your best bet now is, yeah, I mean, hopefully Savoy's really great. Oslin, somebody out of nowhere. Maybe they'll push Hellenis like into the rotation right away. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Where are you going to get all this scoring?
Yeah.
I
know.
Yeah. The bar in Buffalo is low. The expectations are low. It's just make the playoffs, and I don't even care if you get swept. Just make them. It's just not. You're not even a real team.
It's all thanks, Brian, for the call. It's there. And by the way, they are right now. There are only three teams that are further away from the cap than the Sabres are. That's it. Three teams further away from the cap. So are they working with an internal cap? I mean, they bought out Jeff Skinner. And at the moment, I don't see where they've used the money. Other than, did they just pocket it? Have they used the money? Because what right now, like, why did they buy out Skinner? It was, I thought, because, okay, we're going to save $7.5 million, which we're going to help use to win right now. We can use that money. And also, we don't have a spot for him in the top six anymore. Right? And I think maybe even Adam said that yesterday. But staring at the roster right now, this is why I do still want to believe that there's another move coming. Because as of right now, there is a spot in the top six for Jeff Skinner. At this second, there is a spot for Skinner. He is a more accomplished player and was a better player even last year in his decline than the guy they signed that most closely resembles him in Jason Zucker. Again, in the last 3 years, Skinner 92 goals, Zucker 49. Last year, Skinner's down year, he had 10 more goals than Zucker did. So they did not upgrade there. There should be a spot available for him still. But I guess the point there would be, the understanding would be, you have a limited buyout window. You have a week. You have a week to do it, basically. So if you don't get anything done, well, you might have to do it anyway, because if something comes up in the summer, then, well, you can't then go back and buy out Skinner in August. You had to have already done it. That's why I have to believe they are constantly searching, and they should still be acting desperate. Nikolai Ehlers, Martin Nečas, one of these top six guys that might be available at some point in time. And you know what? Like, the Ehlers idea, I saw a debate about that because he's got a one-year contract. And, oh, what if he doesn't tell you? What if he tells you he doesn't want to come there? Like, you just, at some point, you got to take a risk. You got to bite the bullet. You got to try. You might never get that done if you don't take a risk, if you swallow some problem with the player or with the contract somewhere. If you wait and wait and wait for the perfect player on the perfect contract that wants to play here, that fits into your system, you might never make a trade like that. You might never, ever get there. And on the, you know, it's dark. It's kind of depressing to think about. Like the idea that, well, you're rooting for the Kansas City Royals or the Oakland A's. They're gonna spend the least, and they're gonna be what in the Moneyball movie with Brad Pitt when he goes to in the early in the movie he goes to meet with the A's owner, and he's like, I need a little bit of help. Yeah, I just need a little bit more. Like, he wants to spend a little bit more on players. And the owner's like, we're not going to compete with these high payroll ball clubs. We're not going to compete with the Yankees. We're not going to compete with the Red Sox. It's like, we're going to do the best we can with the resources we have available. And that is how it's hard to not feel that that's what the Sabres are right now. That, yeah, I mean, the 13-year playoff drought impacts us a lot. That they're just going to be okay with middling success. And I hope I'm wrong on that. I don't know how it changes. Their history, you know, their history says they're never going to have the long period of success, because it's really only happened once ever where they were a consistent contender with a core group of pieces. Like, do I have to go back to the French Connection? They've had good teams. They've had great teams since the French Connection, which was like their first team. They walked into the league with it. Since then, look at their history. What does their history tell you? The Hasek teams that went to the finals, well, that went to the finals once, were they a consistent Stanley Cup contender? And how long did that last? 3 years? And before he left, and then Briere and Drury, 05, 06, 06, 07, two of the greatest teams we've ever seen in their history. How long did that last? 2 years. What the Bills have right now, which they also had in the 90s, but they have right now, is a long period of sustained contention. And they have a coach and a GM that are a big piece of it. But they have one individual that leads it all. It's football is so different in that you hit on the quarterback like they did with Josh Allen, and boom, there's your ticket to 10 years of sustained contention. You are always going to be a contender as long as that dude is playing at the level he's at. So you find that one guy, and it changes the whole course of your franchise. Hockey is not quite like that. I mean, if you land on a McDavid, that can happen. But otherwise, you got to build it. You got to retain it. And I mean, this team can't get out of the building phase, let alone the retaining phase. How confident are we that they can do what the Bills have done when you can't just, oh, hit on one quarterback and then you're fine? Like, you've got to hit on everything. I don't know, like, should I just, I don't, the Tampas of the world, the Floridas of the world, shouldn't I look at Florida and think, well, why can't I do that too? I'm not betting they're going to, but why can't I? What was Florida? Florida was a laughingstock. Florida was not anything of significance. They weren't a respectful organization in the NHL. Most of the times they were in the headlines, it was people that wanted them to move out of Florida to, like, Hamilton, right? They were good you know, kind of like the Sabres. They were good right away in their existence. They make the finals in 96. And then were they ever good again after that? A team was a joke. Organization was a joke. No fans, no winning, no great players. And somehow, is it through the right management? They hire Bill Zito. And there's a group on Twitter, I'm sure, right now that's going to be ready to tell me, like, oh, the Sabres interviewed Bill Zito. Maybe that would have done it. Maybe he's the answer. They land on a Barkov high in the draft as a great number one center. They start making some good decisions. They get good, and then they are willing to make giant trades like the Tkachuk trade and others. And, oh, there you go, Stanley Cup. And so not only Stanley Cup, and they are built to contend for Stanley Cups for years. I mean, to push back on a little bit of the sentiment of the caller there of, it's just never going to be good. It's never going to be good. They're the Royals. They're the A's. Royals won the championship too, by the way. But that's who they are. That's who the Panthers were. And I'm watching them right now parade around South Florida in the ocean, at the beach, at the elbow room, at their parade, celebrate with the Stanley Cup. And 5 years ago, that organization, that franchise, was as big of a joke as the Sabres feel right now. So I don't want to resign myself to this has to be forever, because then you would never have a bar. Then you would never have expectations. Then, you know, they'd sign a bunch of fourth liners on July 1st and we'd just be like, all right, fine, that's what they are. You should get mad. You should get angry. You should hold your team to a higher standard than that. You should want to feel like you're in the NHL. You should want to have fun thinking about transactions. You should want to believe that your team someday can sign a Steven Stamkos. The Bills were in a different sport, and I just made the Allen comparison. The Bills were a joke. The Bills were a laughingstock. The Bills didn't feel like they were in the NFL. And then, oh look, a couple years down the road, how fun was it when they signed Von Miller? I know that hasn't worked out the way we hoped, but how fun was that? Because in sports, there's two things that are really fun about being a sports fan. One, by a mile, is winning. Winning is a lot of fun. Number two is transactions. Number two is the months and months and months between the games where you're still thinking about the team and you're still interested in the team and you want to see your team make big moves. Make exciting moves. You want to daydream about, oh, what this player could be in a Saber uniform. And for decades, at least, other than the 1 year they got Erhoff and Leno, they've never even given you that day after. They've never given you, I mean, they haven't been giving us the wins. That's fun. But they also haven't given you the trades, the daydreaming about the hope. About, oh, look at this new guy. This could be great. Neither has happened. Want to build some lines? Josh, you want to build some lines? You got some Sabres lines ready to go?
Yeah, we could fire up the cap-friendly line builder because we won't be able to do that for much longer.
All right. Fire up some, we got some NHL music we could fire up here real quick. We've got a new roster to look at. Let's assume for this exercise. Let's figure out like what this looks like. We've got moves that have been made, and there still could be more to come, but let's do this based on their current roster. What would the lines look like if opening night was tonight? What's this thing really look like? Let's figure it out. All right. Line one. You want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. I got J.J. Paterka, Tage Thompson, Alex Tuch. Left to right.
Same.
Okay.
Real quick on that. The reason I wouldn't put Paterka back with Cousins and Quinn is I do like the idea more of having just one crazy good top line and then a middle six rather than a top six and a bottom six. So I think the best chance you have for that is with Paterka on the top line. Line two?
Benson, Cousins, Quinn.
We're going to be in lockstep. We might have the exact same thing here. Yeah, Benson, Cousins, and Quinn. That line... I'd like to believe could become a really good defensive line. Benson is so impressive to me in that department. I think he's going to be a great two-way player. Cousins has a ton of work to do in that department, and Quinn, I think, is actually underrated. Benson in the top six, though, is not what you should be counting on. He was very impressive to me last year. You could see how he thinks the game, but he has a ways to go with his skating. Let's be frank, he's slow at 18 years old. Now, that can improve over time, and I would expect is going to improve over time. I'd expect it's going to improve this year. But what type of jump am I getting? He had 30 points last year. Am I getting 50 from him? Am I getting a big jump? I guess I don't know what to expect from him offensively, which is why I am open to him grabbing a spot in the top six. But at the moment, it feels like they're counting on it, and that seems risky. Line three.
I've got Zucker, Savoy, Greenway.
We're going to have the same lines here.
I hate that line, lines. Though. I really wish it wasn't Greenway on the right wing for that line.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I didn't know who else to put there, though. I mean, you look at the rest of the options, and you have Sam Lafferty, Peyton Krebs, Abbey Cabell, Malenstein, and then you have guys in Rochester. So are you going to bring someone up and put him on the third line in the right wing with a rookie center?
No, I think Greenway is fine on the third line. So for me, though, this is more, like, that's what I have too. It's more what I would do, or not even that. It's what I'm hoping for. It's what I'm rooting for more than what I think is going to happen. If I were guessing what they're going to line up with opening night, I'm guessing Krebs is on the third line and Savoy's not in the lineup. That would be my guess. What I'm rooting for, what's the best case scenario for them right now? The best case scenario for them is that Matt Savoy looks awesome. Looks like Benson did in training camp last year and wins a job. And then, okay, we got to figure out where to put him. Well, third line center makes a lot of sense, right? Bump Krebs back down to four. So I'm not necessarily predicting Savoy's going to open the season as their third line center, but I do think at the moment their best case scenario is he was a top 10 pick. He lit up the juniors 2 years in a row. Last year, he got a few games in with the Amerks and looked good. And the hope would be, all right, year three, after you've been drafted, you can do this. You could play 14 minutes a night and give me 15 to 20 goals or more. Rookies show up in the league all the time in surprise. And I think the best case scenario is Savoy. And by the way, if he was in the lineup, like you mentioned Greenway, I wish I could do better than that. I'm actually fine with it because you've got Zucker on the left, who's a veteran guy who could score goals, and then you have a bigger body Greenway who you might think, all right, you're not going to push the kid at center around.
I think that
giving me one big body on that line.
I think Zucker and Greenway played together in Minnesota too.
Also, that
they probably had a little bit of crossover at the end there.
Yeah. Line four, you've got I've got Krebs, Lafferty, and Obe Kubel, but I guess you could.
I have Lafferty, Krebs, Obe Kubel. Like it's
yeah. Malinstein. It's funny. We just built lines, and neither of us had the guy they just traded a second round pick for in the lineup. I mean, someone is always injured, so Malinstein would probably still play a lot. But yeah, that's what I got. That's what I got right now. That's to me, without a trade, that's the best case scenario for me.
Yeah, I think that's the only like key piece to the puzzle here is like. You need to make another trade because if not, this is the line. This is the lineup. Like, yeah. There's no way to mix it around. I don't think there's any other way that this lineup could be more effective.
Again, though, that's what I'd be rooting for. Is Savoy wows everybody at camp and wins a job? If I were predicting it, though, it's Krebs and the third line, and Lafferty is your fourth line center,
and then Malenstein's on the fourth line left wing.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think at the moment, that's their most likely lineup for opening night. Okay, which, by the way, we found out yesterday is going to be against the Kings, which is a little weird.
Who's your 13th forward if that happens? Is it Savoy or is it someone else, like another rookie? Or is it like a Brett Murray still?
I don't know if you want it to be a rookie because then he's not playing.
True.
Yeah, I don't know.
What about a Lucas Rusek?
That would be the guy.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who your backup guy is if it's not. If Savoy's not in the lineup and Malenstein's not your 13th forward.
Honestly, just sign anybody at that point.
Right.
I'm not even worried about it. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll get Paul Hamilton in next on the moves yesterday. They are harder to play against, but do they have enough scoring to go with it? Get Paul's thoughts on that. Also on Savoy a little bit. He is not at development camp, Savoy. But development camp's ongoing today, 9:30. Paul will be on hand, so we'll get some chatter in on that as well. Stay tuned. We'll talk free agency with Paul Hamilton coming up next. Sneaky Joe on Jeremy and Joe. This is WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college. It's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win? Are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Recapping NHL free agency and the Sabres moves now with Paul Hamilton. It's Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Jeremy will be checking in at 8 a.m. to get his thoughts on yesterday. First, Paul, though. Morning, Paul.
How are you?
I'm good. You're heading down to the rink in a couple hours?
Yeah, it's earlier today, so they'll be on the ice at 9:30 this morning. So. Okay. It's a different time every day this week.
Yeah. And with free agency yesterday, I'm guessing you wouldn't have got to see like every second maybe, or it would have been, there would have been things happening while.
Yeah, I was in front of the practice. I didn't see any of it basically because I was on the air.
Yeah.
I was writing articles.
Twitter, it felt like every time you refreshed, there were like three new signings in the league. And there was a pocket there where there were a bunch of Sabre moves all together.
The next 3 days I'll get a chance to actually watch practice and see what's going on. But
yeah.
As I said, it was in front of me, but I really didn't get a chance to see it.
So development camp, 9:30 this morning at Harbor Center. Let's get right into it, Paul, on the moves yesterday. And you've mentioned pretty much every time I think we've had you on since the end of the season, getting harder to play against. They, at the same time, though, like, there had been reports, and we had talked about, like, what should they want? Top six forward, especially with Skinner gone. Third line center had come up. I feel like those two things not being addressed are a problem, while they also maybe addressed the other things that they had been looking for, which you had been talking about being harder to play against.
Yeah, I think they addressed that very well. Being harder to play against. I think they did a fantastic job with that, and I think it does make them a better team, but they didn't get a top six forward, and I think that's a problem. I think that's something they needed to do. I don't think Zucker is that guy. I don't mind the signing, but I don't think he's a top six forward, and what happens now is you either have to have him, Benson, or Greenway as in your top six, or get a surprise of Kulik making the team or Savoy making the team or something like that. And it just so I think they came up short there, but I think they did a really, really good job of, you know, being harder to play against. And so some of the job is done, but I just don't think all of the job is done right now. And, you know, Kevin Adams, it sounds like, you know, he said he's going to be still, you know, checking in on teams. And he said, you know, some of the guys they were talking about before the draft and everything didn't get traded. And he said, he definitely, if teams are willing to, you know, trade those players where they are not right now, you know, he's definitely willing to circle back to that. But it didn't really sound to me like, you know, he's all that that hopeful that anything more is going to come of anything. And he talked a lot about how he really, really, really likes his team right now. And he, you know, he thinks that, you know, with Lindy Ruff and the way he wants them to play, and he said, you know, he said he has no problem in there. He said he's not concerned at all about the talent or skill level or the ability to score goals. You know, he thinks that they have that in the room. So, you know, he's staking really his job on it, because it has to change and it has to be better. And you know, he's you know, looking at Thompson or Tuck and Cousins and Quinn and all taking the steps to move forward. And he's basically putting his reputation on it, because if they don't, he won't be their GM again anymore.
Yeah, those five guys are going to be so heavily relied upon. Like, you guys got to produce the offense. And maybe you get lucky, like you said, and maybe Benson progresses a lot, or Kulik or someone else just shows up and is ready to give you something. Because otherwise, Paul, like, their bottom six is harder to play against, and I think is stronger defensively. A lot of these guys are getting high reviews for penalty killing and whatnot. But I look at their group and think, like, secondary scoring, is that going to be something we're going to be spending all season talking about? Because outside of those top five, I just don't know who I should be counting on to give me, you know, 15 to 20. 25 goals. I don't think I need them to be the exact team they were 2 years ago. They weren't big enough. They weren't physical enough. But that team, like, why they missed by 1 point, all those top guys scored, but Mittelstats and Olofsson's were putting up points on your third line, and I just don't know who I should be trusting to do the same right now.
I think Zucker could be considered secondary scoring.
Okay.
I think that you can get out of him. Get into double figures. Lafferty's capable. I mean, I think he got into double figures with Vancouver last year, and he can at least get the puck in the net for a secondary type of scoring thing. When I think of Peyton Krebs, I think of assists.
Yep.
You know, I'm not really looking at goals with him, but, you know, I think if you're going to play him in a prominent role and have him as your number three center, I think you have to get 30 or 40 assists out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's where I look at what he, you know, what he, I think, is capable of bringing. I'm not saying he will. And I think Tage Thompson, when I think of Tage Thompson, I still think he's more what he was 2 years ago than last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tage Thompson is very capably consistent mid-40s. Maybe even occasionally a 50-goal score. I think Cousins, or Jack Quinn, I think if he stays healthy, scores 30. I just think he is going to be a goal scorer in this league. But we're saying if again. If he stays healthy, you know. And I can't say for sure, you know, which one's the real Tage Thompson, 2 years ago or last year. But again, I wouldn't stake my reputation on it. If I were the general manager, I'd still be getting a top six forward. And then if Tage Thompson does score 47, that's great. And if Jack Quinn does score 30, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't stake my reputation on it that, you know, that they are going to step up and go get back to where they were 2 years ago.
Yeah. You mentioned Krebs kind of being relied upon now maybe to be their third line center, and hey, can you put up 15 goals and 40 assists this year, which is kind of similar to the stat line that Mittelstadt had 2 years ago, although Mittelstadt was playing more wing. But Krebs putting up production like that, Adams got asked yesterday about top six, and he said he'd still be open to it. Do you think he'd still be open to adding another third line center, or do you think they're done at that position?
I think he has talked about Krebs so much, I think he thinks Krebs is their guy there.
Okay.
So I think that's who he feels is going, you know, going to be improved. I when I looked at it, I didn't really have, you know, having your another centerman, maybe another centerman, if that guy winds up in your top six. But they're pretty sold on Thompson and Cousins. I like both of them too. I mean, I'm not I don't have a huge, because if you would have gotten a top six center, then you move Cousins to the wing, and again,
right.
He does that very well when he plays on Team Canada. You know, he doesn't have any problem on the wing at all over there. If you would have gotten a guy you could slip in as your number two center, then you've got the. So to me, it was an easy. If you wind up with the centerman, yeah. Then you just slip Cousins to the wing, and there are your top six, and you're ready to go.
Okay.
But I don't know if they would want to do that.
I think on top of that, you might have answered my next question, which I was going to get to the rookies just a little bit here, on what they did yesterday and how much room, how much of a path there might be for the Savoys, the Kuliks, the Rosans, if they... I mean, they would have to have great training camps, maybe like what Benson did last year. Savoy, though, specifically, I was wondering about Paul as, like, is he... If he had a great camp, does he have a path to being their third line center and jumping Krebs for that? But it sounds like from what you said about Krebs, you might think that's very unlikely.
My answer is yes.
That it's open for him.
Yeah, I think if he pulls a Benson, they'll find room for him. Mm-hmm. They found room for Benson. You know, I didn't think there was room last year, and they found room for him because he pushed his way onto the roster. So yeah, if one of those guys surprises. Mm-hmm. And, Kulik played center for most of last year in Rochester and is more of a center than a winger. But, mm-hmm. you know, they've drafted all these centers, and they all can't all play center. So some of them are going to the wing. I've never liked Krebs on the wing at all. I mean, every time he gets to the wing, I don't like him at all there. I like him much better at center. But, no, I think definitely if one of those guys shows a very good training camp that they're ready – they will find a place for them.
Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline. So, other moves yesterday. Actually, before we even get off forward, of the three guys they've added this weekend, Malenstein, Obey Kubel, and Lafferty, are they kind of all similar to you? Is there anything that sticks out differently one over the other in terms of their skill sets or the types of players they are? Are they all pretty close together for you?
A little bit different in sizes, but they're pretty much the same player. You know, straight ahead, no nonsense. Get in there, be in first on the forecheck, win battles, win puck battles, get to the net. That's mm-hmm. something the Sabres were horrible at last year, is having people around the net. Maybe they'll score more goals if they just have folks around the net. You know, that can get those goals that go in off skates and. They really don't get that many of those goals because you got to have people there for the puck to go off their skate. And they just didn't have guys who were all that interested in being around the net. So, that's a bit of a problem that I think they may have solved with these guys. But, they can kill penalties. Lafferty can play center or wing. That's where they differ. You know, the other two aren't centermen. That's where they differ somewhat, that Lafferty has a little more range to him where he can play center or wing for you.
And then the Sabres add Dennis Gilbert yesterday. Cool stories from Buffalo, right? Junior Sabres. I mean, he's going to play this year, right? Like, I saw some positive, a good amount of positive reviews of him. Not, I don't think anything more than a third pair guy at most.
I don't know where he would play on this team.
Yeah.
Right now, if everybody comes in healthy, he's not going to play ahead of Samuelson.
So he's your seventh defenseman, maybe?
So right now, I probably would start him in Rochester. I would say Bryson's the number 70, one of the two of them. I mean, either way, I mean, you could go either way with that. He does bring something a little bit different to the defense. So, yeah, he could be the seventh guy, and Bryson could wind up in Rochester. Like he did last year, so, or they could have both of them up here, actually, You can go with, you know, one extra forward, a two extra D, and have them both here. But to me, 8D doesn't work all that well other than for practice. You have an even number for pairs. But, yeah, they could go that way. They could both wind up on the team and just have one extra forward.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. All right, Paul, we'll see if we get any more movement. A lot of the free agents have already signed. Real quick, actually, before you go, Skinner landing in Edmonton, do you think that's for him? Do you think that's about as good as he really could have done? Maybe it depends, you know, what their plans are for him. If he plays with one of those top two centers, I feel like that's about as good as he could have done.
Yeah, he plays one of those two guys. Yeah, that'll be great for him. But, yeah, that's good for him. You know, I wish him the best because great guy. I mean, great person, great human being. He was fun for the guys in the locker room, kept them loose, and was a good teammate. So, you know, they get a good human and a guy that, as I mentioned, has he hit the wall? I don't know, maybe. Mm-hmm. He is 32 years old. His goals were down. We'll see. It's only been 1 year where his goals were down, so we'll see if he's hit that age wall where he's not, you know, the goal scorer he used to be, or was it just a one-year thing for him, and he'll get the opportunity to show us which way it is.
Yeah, McDavid sometimes can cover that wall up, too, so although Hyman plays with McDavid, so I'm guessing that wouldn't happen. Paul Hamilton, he'll have coverage from Harbor Center for development camp today, so I'm sure we'll hear from him plenty later on. Thanks, Paul, and we'll talk this week.
Take care.
We will take a timeout here. I've got a rant on Greg Berhalter that's brewing still. We got Jeremy coming up in about 10 minutes. Should double check that he's coming up. New baby and all, you know, that's going to be fluid, but we'll see if Jeremy's going to check in at 8. He should. And we've got other movement in the league. What's the most interesting non-Sabre thing that happened? I really think for me it's Skinner. I love that spot for him. Depends who he's going to play with, though. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you got a thought on what the Sabres did yesterday, is there any defense for Adams saying that they're a better roster, a much better roster than they were last year? Let me know what you think. It's Jeremy and Joe. This is WGR. All right, very quickly. The U.S. needs to fire Greg Berhalter. Greg Berhalter, manager of the United States men's national soccer team. What a complete and utter disgrace. They get knocked out. Panama advances. Panama's not good if you don't follow soccer. They've never been good. This was supposed to be an easy group. The tournament is in your backyard. By the way, Arrowhead Stadium, horrible for soccer. Wow.
Just see the
sight
puddles?
Lines, like, the there was puddles. Like... Yep. Like, the camera was on the roof.
Yeah.
How did that happen? They had the bad camera. If you're listening to me right now and rolling your eyes and going, oh, well, okay, this is U.S. soccer. This is the same. You were expecting something from U.S. soccer. This was not your normal U.S. soccer falling, you know, short of expectations. This was not your normal disappointment.
This is like rock bottom.
Paul Carr had this. Make this the stat of the day from True Media Sports. First time in 20 continental and global tournaments played at home in the U.S. So that's 17 Gold Cups, 2 Copa Americas, and 1 World Cup. In those 20 tournaments, this is the first time the U.S. has ever gone out in the group stage. In 20 tournaments played at home, you've never not advanced through the group stage. This was supposed to be the most talented of all of those teams, and they're the only team that didn't do it. So it goes beyond the normal U.S. disappointment. So fire the manager, because he stinks. Pretty simple. All right, end of rant. Maybe I'll have a little more on that later. Extendo Sports or something. When we come back, we'll get back into the Sabres a little bit. What they did yesterday. Jeremy will be along. Is there any defense for Adam saying they got much better? 803-0550 is the phone number on the Sabres moves and free agency day. Jeremy and Joe, this is WGR.
He was fun for the guys in the locker room, kept them loose, and was a good teammate. So, you know, they get a good human and a guy that, as I mentioned, has he hit the wall? I don't know, maybe. Mm-hmm. He is 32 years old. His goals were down. We'll see. It's only been 1 year where his goals were down, so we'll see if he's hit that age wall where he's not, you know, the goal scorer he used to be, or was it just a one-year thing for him, and he'll get the opportunity to show us which way it is.
Yeah, McDavid sometimes can cover that wall up, too. So, although Hyman plays with McDavid, so I'm guessing that wouldn't happen. Paul Hamilton, he'll have coverage from Harbor Center for development camp today, so I'm sure we'll hear from him plenty later on. Thanks, Paul, and we'll talk this week.
Take care.
We will take a timeout here. I've got a rant on Greg Berhalter that's brewing still. We got Jeremy coming up in about 10 minutes. Should double check that he's coming up. New baby and all, you know, that's going to be fluid, but we'll see if Jeremy's going to check in at 8. He should. And we've got other movement in the league. What's the most interesting non-Saber thing that happened? I really think for me it's Skinner. I love that spot for him. Depends who he's going to play with, though. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you got a thought on what the Sabres did yesterday, is there any defense for Adams saying that they're a better roster, a much better roster than they were last year? Let me know what you think. It's Jeremy and Joe. This is WGR. All right, very quickly. The U.S. needs to fire Greg Berhalter. Greg Berhalter, manager of the United States men's national soccer team. What a complete and utter disgrace. They get knocked out. Panama advances. Panama's not good if you don't follow soccer. They've never been good. This was supposed to be an easy group. The tournament is in your backyard. By the way, Arrowhead Stadium, horrible for soccer. Wow.
Just see the sight puddles?
Lines, like, the puddles. Like... Yep. Like, the camera was on the roof.
Yeah.
How did that happen? They had the bad camera. If you're listening to me right now and rolling your eyes and going, oh, well, okay, this is U.S. soccer. This is the same. You were expecting something from U.S. soccer? This was not your normal U.S. soccer falling, you know, short of expectations. This was not your normal disappointment.
This is like rock bottom.
Paul Carr had this. Make this the stat of the day from True Media Sports. First time in 20 continental and global tournaments played at home in the U.S. So that's 17 Gold Cups, 2 Copa Americas, and 1 World Cup. In those 20 tournaments, this is the first time the U.S. has ever gone out in the group stage. In 20 tournaments played in your at home, you've never not advanced through the group stage. This was supposed to be the most talented of all of those teams, and they're the only team that didn't do it. So it goes beyond the normal U.S. disappointment. So fire the manager, because he stinks. Pretty simple. All right, end of rant. Maybe I'll have a little more on that later. Extendo Sports or something. When we come back, we'll get back into the Sabres a little bit. What they did yesterday. Jeremy will be along. Is there any defense for Adams saying they got much better? 803-0550 is the phone number on the Sabres moves and free agency day. Jeremy and Joe, this is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.